Good morning. Today we again follow the order of service printed out in your bulletin. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 205, which is actually a very ancient hymn written by John of Damascus about 750 AD. And you see the Greek title there, Anastasios Hemera, which is Resurrection Day or Day of Resurrection. We have the Anastasia and different words today that come from the Anastasios, or resurrection, but it's literally the day of resurrection, and we begin our worship celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32, and we'll go ahead and read those words in unison. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, We come into your presence this day to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Amen. The Bible tells us in Psalm 130 that if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Let us then confess our sins unto the Lord, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us in Psalm 130, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And in Galatians 4, verse 4, we read, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and in the stead of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior, I proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today, our Gospel lesson, is recorded in St. John's Gospel in chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise, or in this way, showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 405, I Gave My Life for Thee. God, which we consider today, is recorded in Romans chapter 6, beginning at the 15th verse. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we have been going through the book of Romans, we have seen very clearly that all of us are sinners and deserve God's wrath and punishment. We read in Romans chapter 3 that therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And St. Paul had quoted many passages from the Psalms pointing out our sinfulness, that the Bible teaches that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've also learned that we are justified, are counted righteous in God's eyes, not by our keeping of the law, because the law only serves to reveal our sin, but through faith in Jesus Christ, who kept the law for us and then offered up himself as a sacrifice for our sins, making atonement or propitiating God's wrath against our sins, that through faith in him, we might be counted just and righteous and acceptable in God's eyes. In Romans chapter 6, we've been dealing with the question of how do we then live as Christians? Since we are saved by God's grace alone and through faith alone in Jesus Christ, should that be a license for us to go on living in sin so that God's grace may abound and he have even more sin to forgive? And St. Paul's answer is, of course not, certainly not. God forbid that we do this, because we have been baptized into Christ. We've been joined to Christ in his death and resurrection so that Jesus' death on the cross was our death. He paid the price for our sins, and our sins and our sinful nature were crucified with him there on the cross. And as Jesus rose from the dead, so we too have been raised up from spiritual darkness and death to life through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in our text for today, St. Paul asks a similar question. And as you've noticed, he's asking these questions as a teaching tool and then giving us an answer and explaining. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. And St. Paul had pointed out that we are no longer under the law, because the law condemns us and our condemnation was paid for in the cross of Jesus. And so we're no longer under the law trying to achieve our own righteousness before God, but we're under grace. We are counted righteous. We are forgiven of our sins through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of this is because of God's undeserved or unmerited favor won for us by Jesus on the cross. And so, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And again, God forbid that we go back into sin. And he reminds us, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that form of teaching which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And here it's not saying that we are becoming righteous and acceptable to God by our own works, but it's using righteousness in the sense of now we are seeking to live holy and righteous lives before the Lord God because Jesus paid in full for our sins. And so certainly we should not go back into sin because, as Paul says, you know, you really cannot serve two masters. If you yield yourself and your members to sin and the sinful desires of your flesh, you're going to reap the results, which is eternal death and damnation. Rather, since Christ has died for us and is risen again, and we're joined to Christ in his death and resurrection, we should yield our members to righteousness or to holy living, to living in accord with God's word. We'll come to it a little bit later when we get to Romans chapter 12. But in Romans chapter 12, St. Paul kind of echoes this same thought when he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes I think Romans chapter 6 is not a favorite chapter of Lutherans because we celebrate the fact that we are condemned by God's law, but then justified through faith alone in Jesus Christ, which is the central teaching of the Christian faith. But after Paul has explained that, how Abraham was justified and David were justified by faith, how we have peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, now he addresses the Christian life. How do we live as Christians? We were born into this world, dead in our trespasses and sins, unable to please God, unable to serve him. And as we study and learn the law of God, the commandments of God, all it did for us was reveal that we're even worse sinners than we thought, that we have broken God's commandments more and more. And so the law, though it is good, though it reveals what is holy and right and good, the law condemns us all. It doesn't give us any power to keep the law. It's a set of commandments with no way to keep them for sinful human beings like you and for me. And so Jesus kept them for us. He paid the price. He redeemed us. And he set us free from the condemnation of God's law. And so we've been set free from our slavery into sin and set free now to live for God, not because we're trying to please God, we're trying to earn his favor, but free to live for him because of what he has done for us in providing salvation for us. The Bible teaches us, Jesus teaches, that you know you cannot serve two masters. And in its context, it speaks of, you know, you can't serve God and mammon or the goods of this world. You can't serve God and yet devote your life to, you know, acquiring and, you know, keeping the goods of this life. Because you just can't serve two masters. Well, here is another case where we can't really serve two masters. We have been set free from our first master, which was sin and the power of the devil over us. We've been set free to serve God. And what Paul is kind of explaining to us is that since we have been set free, why do we act like we're slaves? You know, if you think of, you know, if you think of back to the Civil War in our own nation, when Union soldiers came and slaves were set free and emancipated, what good would it do if they reported back, you know, the next morning, returned to the cotton fields and went to work for the master just like before? And sad to say, as Christians, we often do the same thing. We have been set free from sin. We've been joined to Christ in his death and resurrection. We now have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts, has made us alive to God and given us strength and power to live for God, something we didn't have before becoming a Christian, before being baptized into the Christian faith. But so often we report back to our old slave master. The devil tempts us and we say, okay, that sounds pretty good. I'll go do that. I'll try that. And so we willingly yield our members to sin instead of willingly yielding our members to God for righteousness. In many ways, this is, I guess you could say, a choice on our part, because when Adam and Eve were created in the garden, they had freedom. Their will was free. They could serve God, and they willingly served God and walked with him. But when they made the wrong choice and disobeyed God's word and ate of the forbidden fruit, they lost that freedom. They became enslaved in sin. So they were sinners, and their inclination was to do what they thought was best for themselves. We were born in sin, but we have been set free through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts, moving us, teaching us from God's word, and moving us now to live for God, who has redeemed us from sin and death. And so that freedom of our will is at least partially restored in us, so that now we have, by the power of the Holy Spirit, a desire and the strength to serve God. But what happens is we are tempted to sin, either by the devil or by people around us in the world or by our old sinful inclinations of our flesh. And we just yield ourselves back into sin. And St. Paul is pointing here to whomever you yield your members to obey, you become slaves, you become servants. And the goal here is not to yield ourselves to sin and become slaves of sin, but to yield ourselves to God and become slaves of God. Now, we might not think of being a slave of God as a good thing. However, being a slave or a servant of the Almighty God, who loves us, who desires what's best for us, who is watching to serve him, not by compulsion. What better form of being a servant than to be a servant of the Almighty God who made us? Because there is true freedom for us as Christians. A lot of times we have a hard time understanding these things, and I must admit I struggle with this chapter myself. But Paul puts it in pretty simple terms at verse 19. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, which is kind of saying to us, you know, I know you really don't understand like you should. In some ways, we could even take it as a little bit of an insult. You know, you really don't grasp this like you should. So I'm going to put it in simple terms so that you can understand what it is I'm saying, what I'm teaching you. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And so since we have been joined to Jesus in our baptism, joined to Jesus in his death and in his resurrection, his death is our death, our sinful nature has been crucified, our sins have been punished, and now we are alive to God through faith in Jesus Christ, as Christ was raised up from the dead, so the Holy Spirit has raised us up from spiritual darkness and death. What St. Paul is saying is, you know, if you want to understand what I'm telling you to do, you know, you remember how you used to just yield your members to one sin after another, after another, after another, to unrighteousness? Now yield yourself to God, to righteousness, done to holiness.
Instead of giving in to the devil and his temptations, we are to follow the leading of the Lord God. And of course, this is something that is daily, as Luther says in his explanation of baptism, and I believe it's in the fourth part, that we should by daily contrition and repentance, or we should by contrition and repentance daily, you know, put to death the old man, drown the old man, that the new man may come forth and arise. And so daily we acknowledge our sins. You know, Lord, I'm inclined to this, or I've done this, forgive me. Put this to death in my life and give me a desire to serve you and to do your will, to do what your word tells me is good and pleasing in your eyes. And of course, this is a daily and maybe multi-times daily thing to do because, you know, we're weak. We continually fall. We continually yield to the temptations that are from within and without. So we need to go to the Lord God and say, put this desire to death in me. Give me a desire to serve you. Show me from your word how you would have me live. And give me strength and move me to yield my members not to sin, but to yield my members to righteousness. And I know I have told you this illustration before, but I think it fits so well. You know, the man who was a drunk years ago, who would come to church on Sunday mornings, and but always by later in the day he was drunk, and the minister, you know, the man said, you know, I'm so sorry, I realize this is wrong, and I know that I shouldn't do this. And finally the minister asked him, where do you tie your horse when you come to church? Oh, I tie it in front of the saloon. He was making an opportunity to gratify the sinful desires of his flesh. And so after church, you know, well, one drink might not hurt, and one led to another, and to drunkenness. And so the same thing is true in our lives. You know, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that we should, or also in Galatians chapter 6, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so if we provide opportunities for our flesh, we sow to the flesh by, you know, the programs we watch on TV, by the things we read, by the people we associate with and where we go and what we do, we can expect that we're going to reap, you know, not good things, but what we've sown. If we sow to the Spirit by continuing in God's word and in prayer, and we seek to learn what God would have us do from his word, that we look to him for help and strength, and we pray to him for his help and strength, we will reap from the Spirit of God the fruits of that. Paul says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And he reminds them, you know, when you were the servants of sin, before you became a Christian, you were free from righteousness. You know, you didn't have any coaxing to gladly and willingly serve the Lord and to be pleasing to him. In fact, I think many of us can testify, I know I can testify, that the last thing I wanted to do was to read and study the Bible. And when somebody gave rules, the first thing I wanted to do is figure out how can I get around the rules. But what was the fruit of that? And I think sometimes we, and this might be a guy thing, guys like to go back, you know, when I was young, I did this and this, and I got away with this, and, you know, all kinds of things that nowadays you might end up in federal penitentiary for doing such things, you know. I think I probably blew up half the world with the explosive devices I made as a child. things you would never get away with today. We boast about, close your ears, Lee. We boast about such things, but really, is there any reason to boast about them? Because what is the result? The end result is death. It brings about spiritual death, brings about sometimes physical death, and it brings about eternal death. And so it says, you know, when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness, didn't have any desire to really live for God or please God. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And so the things that we thought were great, you know, the things you could get away with, what fruit? What did it produce? The end result is death. And you can think of death in so many different ways, but you think about the husband who is unfaithful to his wife, and what happens? It destroys a marriage, breaks up a family, or, you know, someone who gives into using alcohol and drugs, you know, may result in losing jobs, losing their homes, destroying families. And so there are so many ways in which death is brought about. But of course, the final end result, if we continue in those ways, is eternal death and damnation. And so Paul concludes by saying, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So God is leading us in an entirely different direction. God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of the devil. He's brought us into the kingdom of his own dear son, Jesus Christ. He's graciously forgiven all our sins. He's given us the promise of everlasting life. And he's given us his spirit who leads us and guides us and uses the word to teach us and to strengthen us that we might now live for God, to do his will. And what is the end result of living out our faith in Jesus Christ? The end result is holy living. Not that we're ever going to be perfect in this life, but we're going to seek to be pleasing to the Lord and everlasting life. We often seek to divide faith up a bit. You know, we speak of justifying faith and somehow exclude works because we're not justified by our works. But when you look at the examples of faith in the Old Testament as well as the New, those who trusted in God to accept them, to forgive them, to send the Messiah, it always moved them to live for God in faith that he forgave them, that he accepted them, and that living in accord with God's word had rich reward. If you think of Psalm 1, and there are many other passages that teach the same thing, that those who continue in the word of the Lord, those who meditate in God's word have life. But the ungodly who turn aside, the end result is death. And so here St. Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I think we all know that passage. And we all understand that passage to mean that what we deserve because of our sins is death, but God has given us eternal life. But we need to also understand that what Paul is saying here is that if we turn back into sin, what's the end result going to be? Death. God's eternal wrath and punishment, as well as all sorts of other forms of death, spiritual death, in our lives. But the gift of God that he freely gives us for Jesus' sake is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so in our baptisms, we were joined to Jesus Christ. And being joined to Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection, our sins, our guilt, our sinful nature were crucified and died on that cross. And as Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, so also he raises us up from spiritual death and darkness to life. And we trust that the Lord forgives our sins. He has a place for us in his kingdom, and we trust that his word is true and that walking in the way of the Lord is right and there is blessing. And so God grant that we place our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and not in our own works. And God grant that we also live for our Lord Jesus Christ and not turn back to the sinful desires and longings of our flesh. God grant that to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. I invite you to please stand, and if you would turn to page 22 in the front of the hymnal, we sing the offertory. Amen. Continue our worship by bringing forward our offerings. I invite you to please stand. O risen Savior, Jesus Christ, we are deeply troubled because of our sins. They are without number and grievous, filling our conscience with fears and our souls with dread. Because of them, we deserve nothing but God's wrath. And yet we can and do lift up our hearts, for we have you as our kind and merciful Savior, our heavenly friend, who gave his life on the cross for our sins. But you also rose again according to the scriptures, and as our everlasting Lord, you give us rich blessings. We rejoice that through the Holy Spirit you have called us to faith, clothing us with garments of salvation, and arraying us in a robe of righteousness. We rejoice that now you live in us through the Holy Spirit, empowering us to do good works to your glory. We rejoice that our prayers are heard and answered at God's throne, where you intercede in our behalf. We rejoice that you are even now preparing a place for us in heaven, and that you will soon come to raise the dead and to take us to yourself. This hope buoys up our spirits, robs death of its sting, and helps us bear with patience the troubles that so often beset us. And when loneliness could easily turn into despair,
we are reminded to rejoice instead, for we have your promise to be with us even to the end of the world. All these blessings and many more you give to us because you conquered sin and rose again. O crucified and risen Savior, for prescribed the perfect remedy. You have invited us to come to you for rest. What joy, therefore, is ours in believing? May we never forfeit that joy because of our unbelief. Through the Holy Spirit, keep us fully committed to your word of truth, that by it our trust in you may deepen and our appreciation of your love may grow. Enable us also by the Spirit to serve you with a full Christian life. Joyfully we praise your holy name, O blessed Savior and Lord. Amen. We join in the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. You all to come forward. The Lord bless you, Wolfie, and you, Lee, and keep you both in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for all your sins. take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
I now ask you to please stand. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true faith, and move us to live our lives for you, while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may be seated. We close our worship by singing hymn 412. Is this the one with the extra verse? No, okay.
So hymn 412. Again, a welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and God's richest blessings to you. As far as announcements, again, we have our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 o'clock this Wednesday via Jitsi Meet. We're in Amos chapter 7, and then we have a congregational meeting to follow our service here in just a few minutes, so. Again, God's blessings to you. Thank you.